And talking about the Holy Spirit, and we're going to go to St. John, chapter 14, verse 26. St. John, chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The Comforter is another name for the Holy Ghost. The Comforter, that word Comforter, means in the Greek, the word is Paraclete, translated Comforter. And the Paraclete is the one who God will send, he said. He hadn't sent him yet. He said he will be sent by God the Father. The Father will send you the Paraclete. Paraclete is a very, very big word. That means one that is sent along to be beside you and with you. And he has many roles and many facets of roles. But the Comforter is probably the best translation, that he is one who comforts you. Now, if you've ever been in distress, you ever been afraid, you've ever had a problem, if you've ever had a crisis, if you've ever had bad news or ever had fear, you got a Comforter on board. He's in you, he's with you, and he's not, and you're not alone in a problem or a care or a trouble or a worry or a fear. So how can you possibly ever be afraid when you've got the mighty Holy Ghost, who is the Comforter, with you and in you? That is, if you're born again. And I think everybody here is born again and has the Holy Spirit. So this is a promise. He said, the Comforter, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. There are several things I want to point out here in this verse. The Comforter is the Holy Spirit, okay? And the Father, he said, will send in my name. There is no way the Holy Spirit is going to come to anyone outside of Jesus. The Holy Spirit does not move outside of the authority. The name is the authority of Jesus. Jesus is the authority that the Holy Spirit moves through. And he doesn't do anything but what he hears Jesus give him authority to say. So it's all about under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit moves. He doesn't move independently of the name of Jesus. He never moves independently of God the Father. So God the Father sends him in the name of Jesus above every name, the name above every name. So the Holy Spirit ministers to us and is with us. Now I want to bring some scriptures out, and I just want to make this as plain and as clear to minister today, because I believe it's going to really bless you. Because the whole purpose of the teaching today or ministry today is to make you more God inside minded. God inside minded. Not God outside minded, God inside minded. The problem that most all of us have is we think we got to run to God. We got to find God. We got to go looking for God when God is right here in us. And God is so close. And he wasn't nervous, shaky, and jerky. He knew what was coming before it came. You might have been surprised, but God was not surprised about the situation you're in. God's not surprised about anything. God is not ever shaken by anything. And that being that is never shaken is living in you. So the whole purpose of the message this morning is to make us all God inside minded. Now, how can you be fearful, nervous, shaky, and jerky, and in crisis if you've got God inside of you? And if you know that, and if you're totally established in that and settled in that, and there's several truths that are going to really, really help you, I believe, this morning, and teach us how to not run after God and chase God down and try to find God, because that's what they had to do in the Old Testament. You know, a lot of people try to serve God in the New Testament with the New Testament faith based on Old Testament provision. But Old Testament provision doesn't work in a New Testament church. The New Testament church has new rules and new governing things going on. There's a new thing, a new order going on in the new church, in the new church of the living God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. Do you know the word church is nowhere in the Old Testament? You cannot find Jesus's, you find vague references to it, Zion and different things, but the church is the name, the word church doesn't show up in the Old Testament. But Jesus told the disciples, upon this kind of faith, this kind of who I am, knowing who I am and what I've provided is what I'm going to build my church upon. And guess what? I'm a part of the church. The church is not a house or a building like in the old times when David said, I wanted to build you a house. And Solomon finally did build him a house. But God is talking about a house of people. A people that are his people. And we are his workmanship. We're knitly joined together, building a holy temple unto the Lord. We have a purpose and a place in the house of God, which is his temple, which is his body.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So follow this teaching this morning, this ministry this morning, about being God inside minded. Now we're going to go to St. John. Stay in St. John. Go over to chapter 16. We're going to look at verse 7. He's talking to his disciples before he went to the cross. This is before he went to the cross. And he's preparing them for what's getting ready to happen. And I don't think they were ever really prepared for such a horrific thing. But Jesus knew what was coming. And he said to them, he said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. This is what you have to understand. The Comforter will not come if I don't go away. He could not come. He would not come. He will not come unless I go away. Jesus had to go to the cross. Jesus had to go to hell. Jesus had to become a curse. Jesus had to become sin. He had to take away the sin. He had to remove it. He took it on himself. He became sin that we could be made righteous. Jesus had to go to hell. Jesus had to be fully justified. Jesus had to be raised from the dead. Jesus had to be glorified and is seated at the right hand of the Father. All of that had to happen before the Holy Ghost could come. All of that had to happen. So he said, it's important. Listen, I have to go away. Because if I don't go away, the Comforter isn't coming. How important is it that the Comforter comes? God thought it was extremely important that the Comforter comes. He couldn't come any other way until Jesus went to the cross, was raised from the dead, and ascended to the Father and seated at the right hand of the Father, highly glorified above every name. The only way the Comforter could come was if that all happened. All that had to happen. And Jesus said, it's extremely important, I go through all this. I go away. In other words, I'm not going to be here anymore. I'm leaving y'all. And I'm sure they said, oh, you can't leave us. You just can't leave us. But he said, I'm going to send somebody that's going to live in you. He said, he's going to be with you. He's going to be in you. I'm going away. And if I can't go away, if I don't go away, the Comforter won't come. He will not come. So just establishing that this was what he was preparing the church for. He was preparing his first apostles. You have to see the apostles as foundational beings, foundational people. The first 12 apostles were the foundation of the church. They were the people that God revealed. Jesus saw him face to face. To be an apostle of the Lamb, you had to have seen Jesus. You had to have been with him in the 3.5 years of his ministry to qualify to be apostle of the Lamb. And there was only 12. And so let's now go to verse, let's look at this other verse here. I want to finish reading verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Jesus, in his glorified, established office as high priest, is the one who was the only man who went into heaven as a man, who represented man, and could send the Holy Spirit back to man. He's the only one that could have done that. It had to happen. Nobody else who could do it. And Jesus said, I will send him back to you. Look at verse 8. And when he is come, and that word, I hate to see little H's. I always, when I'm reading my Bible, I always put a little capital because he's highly to be exalted. And I capitalize his name. He is a person. And he is come. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. You see, he's not an it. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a he. The The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a living, alive being, personality. Holy Spirit's real, and he's a person. He is a he, not an it. A lot of people say it and talk about the Holy Spirit being an it. He's not an it. He's a he. He's a being. He's a person. He's a personality. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Now, we think the Holy Spirit's always been here doing all this. Reproving. The Holy Spirit has never, in fact, the Holy Spirit had never, until the day of Pentecost, entered the atmosphere of planet Earth until the day of Pentecost. It did. He wasn't here doing all this work. Holy Spirit is here, and it was urgent. You know, our world is a different world than they had before Jesus. We don't even have an understanding of what kind of world there was before Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. A.D., B.C., I'm telling you, he was a pivotal moment in all of mankind's history when the Holy Spirit embarked upon the atmosphere of planet Earth. It changed everything. Now the world can be reproved of sin. Now the world can come under judgment. Now the world can have all these things exposed. And the Holy Spirit is here to do it. And then it goes on, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, verse 13, howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come. I love this verse better. I think, oh, it's just one of my favorite verses. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, and he's come, and he's in me. I'm God inside minded. I know he's with me. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. I can go boldly to the throne, and I know I have a comforter in me, living in me. He said he will guide you into all truth. Well, I think I'm going to go over here and do this little thing over here. And the Spirit of truth will say, there's something comes up inside of me and says, And it's a small, still voice. I mean, he doesn't get a ball bat and beat you over the head and say, straighten up and don't do that. But he'll reprove that sin. He'll bring a little check to you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, that's the Holy Spirit inside you who is aware of every move you make. He's aware of every thought you think. He's aware of every intent of your heart. The Holy Spirit knows all about you. Thank you, Jesus, that he does.
Amen.
But Jesus said, when he comes, see, at this point right here, he's talking to the disciples. He hadn't come yet. So they're hearing all this, and they have no idea. You think we have a hard time getting this. Can you imagine being the disciples who had never experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit like we have, who had never spoken in tongues, who had never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, never even been born again? These guys weren't even born again of the Spirit. Can you imagine hearing Jesus say all these things and trying to figure it out? Nothing to compare it to. Not one thing to compare it to. So, but now, he's telling them before time, and I think it's amazing that they recorded all this stuff after the fact. Some of these books weren't even written for years till after Jesus was raised from the dead. Years. Did you know they didn't even know the Gentiles? It was 10 years before the Gentiles even got born again. The Gentiles didn't even know. The early church didn't know the Gentiles were supposed to have the Holy Spirit and get born again. That's the truth. But you just think about these things and start looking at them in a different light. I try to teach people. I said, this is the Old Testament. This is the Gospels. This is the days and the life and the ministry and the days and times of Jesus, who was a prophet. He was a prophet. He was a teacher under the Old Testament. He was an old, he had to operate under the Old Covenant because the New Covenant hadn't come yet, because the death of a testator is what enacts the Testament. You got to die before the Testament and will is in effect. Is that right? So we're talking, we got to see the things correctly to be able to understand and discern what God is saying to us. So he was preparing them for a new day, a new time, the grace dispensation that would come when the Holy Spirit entered planet Earth and would begin to inhabit people. He'd never inhabited people before. He was kept in the Holy of Holies, and only the high priest could carefully, under very careful conditions, go in there once a year for the sins of the people. I mean, you go in there, you just barge right in the Holy of Holies, and bam, you're dead. Bam, you're dead. They knew that from experience. So Jesus is getting them ready for his departure, and he's getting them ready to understand what's coming. And he said, the Spirit of truth, though, get excited here. It's kind of like when your mom and dad say, okay, I got to go away. I'll be gone for a, a while, but this is what you're going to get if I go. I'll bring you back some goodies. I'll make sure you have some good things. So he's telling them, he said, let me tell you what's coming. You're going to have somebody living on the inside of you, and he's going to be able to lead you into truth like you have never been led into. You always had, you know, since Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, everything has been, is this right, is this wrong? You got to figure it out. Is this good, is this bad? Should I do this or should I do that? Should I go here or should I go there? Should I go here and work or should I go there and work? Should I be this here or should I be this friend? You know, you got to constantly all the time be figuring it out. Am I right or wrong? Well, the Holy Spirit, he said, you can get excited about this because all these thousands of years you've had to figure it out because of the Adam and Eve thing, and they've made you have to live under a governing rule of right and wrong and rules and do's and don'ts. And now you're going to have the Spirit of truth living on the inside of you who knows exactly the truth about every situation in your life. He knows the exact thing you should do. He knows the exact situation you ought to get yourself into. He knows how to teach you and how to lead you into something called truth. You want to know the truth how to run a business? You want to know the truth about how to get along with people? You want to know the truth about how to live in this earth with peace with other people? You want to learn the truth about anything? The Holy Spirit is in you to teach you truth. Because he's called the Spirit of Truth. I have the Spirit of Truth on the inside of me. There is no reason I should not know whatever I need to know about truth on an issue or a subject. Yes. You can know the truth, and Jesus said the truth will make you free. People don't like to know the truth sometimes. Sometimes I'm in people's face and they get offended at me. And I think to myself, you know, I could tell you a lie. I could tell you half truth. Or I could tell you straight up what I hear the Holy Spirit of truth who's in me saying to you. And people don't want to hear the truth. They would rather be pacified. They'd rather be petted. They'd rather be coaxed. They'd rather have their little spirit of rejection babied a little bit. But I'd rather just tell straight up people, hey, this is the truth about this thing. Now, I tell them in love, but the truth is the truth. Truth is the truth, right? Yes. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We deal that way with our kids, don't we? Don't we want to tell our children the truth because we know that the lie will hurt them down the road? We tell them the truth because we want them to know. I've set my kids down and I said, I whooped you, but this is why I whooped you. Because I want you to know the truth. I want the truth to make you free. You don't want your kids in bondage. God doesn't want his kids in bondage. We now have been given the Spirit of adoption. The Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of adoption. The Spirit of adoption, when you received the Holy Spirit, the Comforter came in you in your born-again experience with him. He gave you the Spirit of adoption. Have you ever, anybody in here adopted? I don't know anybody. I know some people that are adopted. But I would think the devil probably would hound those people all their lives and say, you're just adopted. You're just adopted. You're not really a part of the family. You're not blood. You're adopted. I mean, I could imagine that kind of being that way. But see, the Spirit of Truth who is in you, he literally makes you family. You understand? You didn't do it. He's doing it. The Spirit of adoption is doing that. Hallelujah. Jesus got them ready for the day that they would receive this impartation, and not just an impartation, but an indwelling. That's the best way to say it. He was getting them ready to be vessels of honor, vessels that would contain the mighty Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. Getting them ready. And be God inside minded. You see, the church is so sin conscious, and they're so failure conscious, and they're so defeated conscious. They cannot understand or grasp the victory that Jesus purchased. And the Holy Spirit will get in you and he'll shout victory, 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 because that's the only thing he knows is victory. Holy Spirit never knows defeat. Holy Spirit doesn't know depression. The Holy Spirit of truth only knows victory. We've been made more than conquerors because of what Jesus did. The Holy Spirit will shout out truth, truth, truth in every situation. But see, we're so sin conscious and so defeat conscious and so failure conscious, because sin and death is all about that. There is a law of sin and death that works in the earth. And we were under that law for so many years. Now, I was only under that law 22 years. I was under the law of sin and death for 22 years, and it made a mark on my mind. I was smoking 3 packs of cigarettes a day. Most of you know my testimony. It will just destroy a person, that law of sin and death. But God, in his rich mercy, came to me, appeared to me. I saw Jesus. Thank God I saw Jesus.
Amen.
It shook my world. It changed my children's life. It changed a lot of people's lives. And I've been an influence on a lot of people over the years because of it. But when you see Jesus in your living room,
right,
and you get born again in your kitchen, and there ain't nobody talking to you about anything, it just affects you. I had a real road to Damascus kind of experience. And I've never been the same. My parents thought she'd lost her mind. Daddy used to come down on a regular basis. Girl, you've lost your mind. You went religious crazy. You're going to come and take you away in a straitjacket. And I had the Holy Spirit. I knew something came in me. I knew because he started talking to me. Now, did I know anything about speaking in tongues? I didn't know a thing about speaking in tongues. I didn't know anything, but I knew the Holy Spirit is who got me born again. I was born again of the Holy Spirit. He comes in and he takes your human spirit and he brings in the new birth of the human spirit. Your spirit gets born again. You have to understand, there's a lot of times in scriptures you'll hear spirit and you'll think that's the Holy Spirit when he's talking about your spirit. You have to get a revelation of what and understand which is he talking about. But again, you have the Spirit of truth who's leading you and guiding you all truth. There's no reason you should not know the Word of God. There's no excuse in the body of Christ not knowing who they are in Christ, because the Spirit of truth is in them to teach them all things. Do you know the word all means all? Have you ever done any research on or thought about this? The word means all. If he says he's going to teach you all things, then don't ever again say, well, I don't know. I just don't know. I just don't know. I get so tired of hearing people say, I don't know. Well, then you get to know, because you can know because the Spirit of truth is in you to give you truth and lead you into truth. Well, I just don't know what to do. I just don't know. Well, why don't you let the Holy Spirit talk to you?
Right,
he will tell you what to do. Hallelujah. Is this good or what?
Amen.
I'm just speaking word. See, we're snared by the words of our mouth. Because you will believe what you say over anybody else. And only that, the bad thing is, you're hearing it not only outer ear, but the inner ear too. Because you're the only one that can speak the truth that you hear two ways. And it gets in your heart two ways quicker. Now, you're preaching, we know that. How can they believe except they hear a preacher? And how can there be a preacher except they be sent? And he says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you know fear comes by hearing the wrong things too? You can speak fear to a child, and that child will be instilled with fear. Or you can speak faith into a child, and that child will be instilled with faith. Faith and fear are total opposite poles. And one is a very negative thing, and one is a very positive thing. And if you base it on the word of God, you've got a dynamite going on inside of you. Have to know what you're hearing, and then when you put it in your mouth, be careful what you're speaking out of your mouth, because you're programming yourself. Whammy, double whammies are coming, because not only you hear somebody, you know, I turn on the radio, I'm real picky about what I listen to on the radio or what I watch on TV, because I can hear it with my outer ear, but don't let it get in your mouth, because then you start hearing it with your inner ear too, and you'll get the unbelief in your heart quicker, or you can get faith in your heart quicker. Is this good?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So let's go now to, where did I leave off here? Howbeit, verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now this tells me and tells us that the Holy Spirit who's in us, he is in tune with Almighty God and Jesus. He hears. He never is asleep. He's never on. He never takes a break. He never goes on vacation. The Holy Spirit who's in me is constantly hearing anything and everything Jesus is ever saying about anything he wants you to hear. You'll hear. You can hear it. Hallelujah. Can I go to Mark chapter 15? Mark 15. I think this is noteworthy. Mark 15, 38. Let's go 37 and 38. Mark 15, verse 37 and verse 38. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. I mean, he died and he gave up his spirit. He gave it up, by the way. He did. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Now, how did they know that? That at that very moment, Because he's way out on the brow of the city on Golgotha, dying. And then in the temple back in town, it was rent from the top to the bottom. I was studying this a little bit the other day, or the other night, and it said that it was 20 feet tall and 4 inches thick. And it was ripped from the top to the bottom. Wow, that's a lot of ripping. How did they know that all happened in a synchronized kind of moment? There was a lot of things happened when Jesus died. There was a great earthquake. The clouds at noon, when he was dying, it was completely pitch black, like nighttime had been daytime. At high noon, it's nighttime. And the dead people came out of the tombs. The saints, the old saints, were walking around after he died, because he took captivity captive. He went to the belly of the earth and took out those Abraham's bosom and brought them into paradise. He told the thief on the cross, he said, "This day you'll be with me in paradise," and that was we talking about. There was a lot of absolute fabulous things that happened when Jesus died. But I think of all the things that happened was this moment right here, that when the veil of the temple was rent from the top of the bottom, signifying the Holy Spirit was no longer there. He wasn't there. Then we go to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But you shall receive power." Now, this is after Jesus has now been raised from the dead. He's raised from the dead. He's presented his blood at the mercy seat of Christ, the mercy seat of God. Come back to earth, and he is now with his disciples. And he was seen of 500 people, actually, the Bible says. 500 people. And he was here for 40 days after his death, burial, and resurrection. So he had to present his blood, and then he came back, and he goes and he starts sharing the God. Continued right on talking about the kingdom of God. Jesus, remember in John, in first chapter 2 of John, it says that he came preaching and teaching the kingdom. Started teaching about the kingdom of God. And in fact, one place Jesus told him, said, "The kingdom of heaven is in you. Kingdom of heaven is in you." How is the kingdom of heaven in you? Through the Holy Spirit. That's how God inside-minded people think. They think kingdom things. They don't think carnal, worldly stuff. They think kingdom stuff. They think about the kingdom of God, and it's a real place. It's just as real as this earth is real. So he said, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto othermost parts of the earth." Well, I get excited when I think about the Holy Spirit who's in me being the power of God. Do you see the Holy Spirit is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's why he wasn't in the temple tomb anymore. In the temple anymore. He was able to go into hell and bring him up and raise him up. Remember in Psalm 16, he said, "You will not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." So the Holy Spirit was the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Now, just think about this. I was sitting on my couch many years ago in northeastern Kentucky, and I heard this said, and it was just like a lights went off inside of me. And this is what I heard, and I just hope this lights go off in you. Because the Lord said, it's not a scripture, but I was reading a book by somebody, I think Kenneth Hagin, and he said, "No, that the same Holy Spirit," just let the lights of the revelation of this go off on you, or in you. "Know that the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in your body right now." The power it took to raise Jesus to life is the same Holy Spirit that's living in you right now. Now that is powerful. And he said, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you're going to receive something called dunamis, power. How much power do you have in you? You don't even have a clue. We don't even have a clue. Until he reveals it to you, you are clueless. You still think he's some little fuzzy cloud or puff or an it somewhere. But the Lord is bringing revelation to this church that there is a mighty, powerful being person in you. The spirit of truth is in you. To be God inside minded is urgently important right now in the church. We got to be God inside minded and not be so sin conscious. Sin consciousness is from the devil. I have heard so many people lately say, oh, you know, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Who told you that? Who told you that? That you're an old sinner saved by grace? Well, I know I'm a sinner. You are a sinner? Are you confessing right now to me that you are a sinner? Oh, yeah, you know, I'm just a sinner. Oh, no, you're not a sinner. I correct folks. Don't you say that to me. I correct you. I'll say, excuse me. You're not a sinner. You were a sinner, but you're not a sinner now. You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You've got the mighty dunamis power of the Holy Ghost in you. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He became a curse so you could be made righteous. How can you be a sinner if you're righteous? That's the trick of the devil. And a lot of it's preached right out of the pulpit.
Yeah, I've heard it.
And it's a wrong, it's a fallacy. It's not even word of God. I'm not a sinner. Don't you be telling me I'm no sinner. I am no sinner. I am not a sinner. I'm a saint. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Until you believe that in your heart and confess that with your mouth, you will not be saved from a lot of stuff. You see, there is an absolute truth here that in Romans chapter 10, it talks about that. Can we just look at that? Let's just look at that. Because if this has never come to light to you, this needs to be a revelation. The book of Romans chapter 10. And look at verse 3. Romans 10, verse 3. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. They being ignorant of God's righteousness. And going about to establish their own righteousness. You see, religion does that. And this really is, Paul is talking about the Jewish religion. He's talking about the Jews. And when the righteousness of God was revealed through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit being poured out by the day of Pentecost, when that righteousness came and the revelation of righteousness came to the church, there's still a bunch of Jews out there who did not receive that truth. And they kept going about trying to establish their own righteousness. And really, religion is all about establishing your own righteousness. Well, I go to church and I pay my tithes and I don't cheat on my husband and I don't cheat on my wife and I don't do this. And it's like a list of things. They got a checklist and they just, okay, I must be righteous. Or you got to make yourself feel righteous by doing certain things or not doing certain things. And it's like a code of ethics or something you live by. And you're better than somebody else because you don't do this what they did. You know what I'm saying? It's like everybody's got their own figuring it out kind of thing. And they're not going about submitting themselves unto the true righteousness of God. You know what the true righteousness of God is? The true righteousness of God is that God made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin, that you could be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Bam, it happened. It happened the day you got born again. Bam, you cannot be more righteous. You cannot grow in righteousness. You can't be any more righteous than you were the day you got born again. Do you know that? It happened. You were made righteous. You going around trying to get more righteous? I'm sorry, you can't grow it. You can grow in faith and you can grow in love, but you cannot grow in righteousness. You can't. You were made righteous the day you accepted Christ as your Savior and the Holy Spirit was given to you in your human spirit. Now, you willfully can sin if you want to. But who would want to? Who wants to? Because basically you're cutting your own nose off to spite your face. Because you're cheating yourself out of all the great things that the blessing came. And submitting yourself to the righteousness of God is this next few verses. Let me show what submitting yourself to this kind of understanding of righteousness. Let me explain to you how it is to understand that you're God inside minded, that the Holy Ghost who raised Jesus from the dead, the power of God is living in your spirit. And you can lean on this power. And you can lean on this power to get you over in life and to be victorious 100% of the time. I don't mean just once in a while. I'm talking victorious. Over sin, death, and hell. And just hope God will answer prayer. Don't go, no. He went to a lot of trouble to get you righteous. He got to a lot of trouble to get rid of sin. He dealt with sin, a death blow. It wasn't just a pat on the head. Sin has been eradicated. There is no longer a sin problem. There is a sinner problem and a revelation problem and a submission problem of the body of Christ to submit to the righteousness of God. In Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm glad I recorded all that. Hallelujah. That comes straight out of the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit, I lean on Him to help me share. There's no way I would get up in a pulpit or share the Word of God if I didn't know the Holy Spirit was in me, who is the Spirit of truth. But I've learned how to submit myself to the righteousness of God. And look at this chapter. This chapter is powerful. And it says, verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. The key to the end of the law of righteousness is believing the Word of God. Believe what Jesus did, that He literally became sin, that you could be made righteous. Do you think the Holy Spirit can live in a sinner's body? The Holy Spirit cannot dwell in a sinner's body. Something had to happen. You had to become a new creature in Christ. You had to become literally born again of the human spirit, had to be born again and transformed. And He had to literally make a place for you to be able to reside. The Holy Spirit cannot dwell in an unclean temple. He can't. He's the Holy Spirit. He's holy. And He says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of promise with what you have been bought. Holy Spirit will bug you and bug you and bug you, will He not? Till you straighten that thing out. You're mad at somebody, you want to kill somebody, you want to smack somebody's head, the Holy Spirit won't let you get away with that very long. He will work on you and work on you. Forgive, forgive, forgive. He will help you. He will help you, will He not?
Amen.
He came to reprove the world of sin. Well, if He's in you, you can't get away with much. I never could. You can get away with anything. Some people, I think, just walk around with a good whipping all the time. I had a son who was, he got a whipping every day. Every day, my son got a whipping. Every day. And I just simply ask him, I'm working like all these hours in a dental office, and I would have to come home and cook meal for three kids. And I would say, will you just please do the dishes, Brian? That's all I ask him, do the dishes. He wouldn't do the dishes for nothing. I'd come home, the place would be a wreck, but they'd been home through the summer all day. And I would be so upset with him, and I'd just wear him out. And he later told me, when he grew up, he said, you know, Mom, you know why I wouldn't do the dishes? I said, oh, no, I don't understand. He said, well, because I knew I was going to get a whipping. But I knew that the whipping was better to do than the dishes.
Oh!
So I wouldn't do the dishes. I'd rather take the whooping.
Oh, wow.
That's what he tells me as a grown man. I never thought about it. I just never understood. This kid's stubborn. Well, he just would rather take the whipping than do the dishes. He hated doing dishes. So he just took between the two, I guess. That's what we do. Don't we not do that? Hallelujah. Now, listen to this. This is powerful. Verse 5 says, for Moses described the law, righteousness which is of the law. Remember the law of sin and death? There's the law of sin and death. And if you're going to live in that law, this is what he says you got to do. In fact, what it says is, you got to do it all. The man that doeth those things shall live by them. In other words, you're in bondage to do every single thing the law says to do. I mean, if you break one thing, you're guilty of the whole thing. It says in Galatians. But, verse 6 says, but, here's the but. Here's the good news. The righteousness, which is a faith, see, the righteousness, which is the law, which is not by faith. But the righteousness which is of faith, it says this. It says, now this is where it gets really interesting, this verse right here. I love this verse because God had to reveal this to me. And I like that because, you know, they say that I can't understand the King James. I can't understand the Bible. And you're not going to understand the Bible because it's not of this world. The Holy Spirit is the one who inspired that Bible. And the Holy Spirit is the one who's in you to help you understand the Bible. Thank God we have the Holy Spirit, who is the one, the author of the book through men of old. But the Holy Spirit knew exactly what he was saying when he put this verse here. And he's saying, when you go by this law of righteousness by faith, you don't approach the throne of God and say, okay, God, oh, have mercy on me. Oh, I know I sin. And he's looking at you like, yeah, I knew that before you did it. And then you're saying, oh, but God, please come down and fix this problem. Please, I know I did this, and I deserve this. And please come down and fix this. And the Lord is saying, don't ask him to come down and do any more than what he's already done for the kingdom of God in your life. Don't come down and beg God to come down and fix that problem that you created with your mouth. Don't ask God to come down, because he's already come down. He came down 2,000 years ago. He walked this earth. He fulfilled the law, fully fulfilled the law under the old covenant as a man, under the Old Testament, as a Jew. And then he was raised from the dead and now seated at the right hand of the Father. He gave gifts unto men. He gave the body of Christ fivefold ministry gifts. He gave us 9 spiritual gifts. And he gave us the Holy Spirit that could help your spirit develop the fruits of your human spirit. Hallelujah. You can walk in love, joy, peace, long-suffering. The fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of your human spirit once the Holy Spirit comes into you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory. Is that good news? So don't be going to God and ask him to come down and add anything to the New Testament, because he's not going to add anything else to the New Testament. And Peter says, unto us have been given exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises you can be made a partaker of the divine nature of God. All you've got to do is find out what the promises are and partake of them. Believe them. That's what the righteousness of faith is all about, is just believing the word of God and act like it's true, like we were sharing earlier. Y'all getting this?
Amen.
So we want God to come down and add more to the New Testament. He isn't going to do it. Because that's just what most folks think. He's got to come down and fix their problems. And you know what? He's in heaven and you're on earth and you've created the problem. You need to fix it. You need to speak to that mountain. You need to forgive that person. You need to start tithing. You need to start blessing people. You start activating the laws of things that are already in place in the earth that God has already set in order. And you start walking in your righteousness. And becoming God inside minded and God righteous minded and knowing that you have been made righteous. You didn't do it. You had nothing to do with it. You just partook of it when you received it. See, people just have a hard time thinking they got to add to God's help. Got to help God out. I surely got to do something to make myself feel righteous. Feelings will deceive you every day. Feelings deceive me. They deceived me for years. And I thought God would answer me based on my feelings. And he is not going to base any of his answers to my prayers based on how I feel. It's based on my faith in his word. That's what moves God. God's only moved by faith. Not crying, not begging, not tears. His word. His promises activate. See, you got to believe the promise. Then you got to activate the promise by faith. If he says you want the windows of heaven open in your life, you want a blessing, then tithe. That's a promise. And you know the thing about the blessing? The old covenant had a lot of promises. And there were wonderful promises. Just read Deuteronomy 28. But Jesus took away the curse of the law, but he never took away the goodies. He never took away the provision. When it says no weapon formed against you can prosper, that's covenant. God never breaks covenant. So the promises of the old covenant are just as alive. In fact, he's added to a whole bunch of stuff with it. So no weapon forms against me is now New Testament blessing. Because God never took away the blessing. He took away the curse of the law. Hallelujah. There's some revelation coming out of this girl today. There's some revelation coming. And that's called living by faith. And in fact, it says it in Habakkuk. It says it in Romans. It says it in Galatians. And it says it in Hebrews. The just shall live by his faith. His faith. Everybody's been given a measure, but what are you doing with it? What are you doing with your faith? Are you growing your faith? You know, I love to grow gardens. I used to grow a garden every year. I was a part of growing a garden every year. My daddy was a farmer. My great-grandparents were a farmer. They owned an orchard, and they owned a huge farm that fed people during the Depression days. I came from my grandfather owned a 1,000-acre farm on the top of a mountain ridge up in northeastern Kentucky. So I know about farming. My dad farmed. I farmed. Grew up on a 200-acre farm. We farmed. And I know about growing things. There are things that just happen. You put the right conditions out. You do it. I have a CD that I should have made copies today called Everything is a Seed. And God woke me up and gave me that word, that message. So anyway, let's move on because I want to show you something. Do not say in your heart, if it says don't do this, don't do this. Okay, don't ever from this day forward say, I'm not going to do this ever again. Can everybody say, I'm not going to beg God to come down and add to his new covenant? Say, I'm not going to beg God to come down and change or add to his covenant. I just want to know. Not going to do it. I'm not going to come down, beg God to come down and add to what he's promised. But I'm going to find out what the promise is and believe it. That's what you're going to do. So, and if you don't know all the promises, that's okay. There's over like 6,000. Get busy, start looking them up. I've heard 3,000. I heard 6. I'd rather believe 6,000. Mm-hmm. Told me there was 10,000. I wouldn't be surprised. Or then he goes on. It goes in the other word, verse 7. Who shall ascend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. Well, that isn't going to happen. But this is what it says. Verse 7. The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth. Mm-hmm. Now, whose body does the Holy Spirit live in? Mine. Mm-hmm. It's my body. This is my hand. This is my foot. This is my... I tell you what, I was talking to a woman the other day. This woman, spirit-filled woman. And she's smoking a cigarette. And she's saying, you know, I feel the power of God on my hands. I'm not surprised about that. She's smoking a cigarette telling me about this, but I'm not surprised about that. Because the Holy Spirit in you, I mean, there's a lot of us that do things we shouldn't be doing. The Holy Spirit is still in you. But I said, she said, you know, the Lord's going to take this away from me. I said, hey, the Lord ain't going to come down and take us away from you. See, that's how I'm coming down again stuff, that coming down and doing stuff. No, the Lord is not going to come down and take it away from you. The Lord has done everything he's going to have to ever going to do about delivering you. It's your hand. You're going to have to lay that cigarette down. You're going to have to decide in your heart that you are top. Don't let anything hinder the moving power of God in your life. It's a hindrance. There are hindrances. Does it not say, cast aside every weight and every sin that which does so easily beset you? Things are a stumbling block. Things are a hindrance. Just get rid of it. It's a flesh. It's a thing of the flesh. And I told her, I said, that's of your flesh. So when your spirit man, this is what I said, when your spirit man raises up and decides, when you as a human spirit, your human spirit raises up and says and challenges your old stinking filthy flesh that you're not going to do that old dirty thing again, then you won't do it again. But you've got to decide to do that and put it under. I keep my body under, Paul said. I keep my eye. The real eye is the real Paul. And that goes with anything that's not of God. Anything that ain't good. I love what Kenneth Hagin used to say. He said, smoking cigarettes won't send you to hell, just make you smell like you've been there. That's what old Kenneth Hagin, my pastor Kenneth Hagin would say. Now look at this verse 8. What saith it? Here's what it said. It's in your mouth. It's even in your mouth. It's nigh you. It's how close is the words in your mouth? And it's your mouth, by the way. It's in your heart. Romans 10 verse 8. Romans 10 verse 8. But what does it say? The word is nigh you. It's in your mouth and your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. See, I'm preaching the word of faith this morning. I'm preaching you a word about faith. The word of faith. That Paul calls it 2,000 years ago. The Apostle Paul wrote to this church in Rome about the word of faith. We're still preaching the word of faith. As far as I know, I'm still preaching faith. I'm still preaching kingdom of heaven, which operates by faith. And we're talking about the law of righteousness. The law of righteousness, because remember, you've got to live by faith. There's no other way around it. I have cried and done my share of crying over this. In years gone by, I've done cried and boo-hooed and squalled and kicked and carried on enough about this stuff about faith. So finally I realized, if I'm going to get anything from God, I'm going to have to get it by faith. That's just all there is to it. The crying ain't working. The begging ain't working. I mean, all this stuff I do is not working. I mean, even going to driving 60 miles to church one day ain't working. Anything I try to impress God with is not working. It's by faith that we impress God in his word. And I have went through all that. So thank God I'm delivered from that. And if you ain't delivered from that yet, you need to get delivered from worrying about... Oh, there's so much. There's so much. I won't go there. But anyway, let's go to verse... this is a... Okay, verse 9. Now we're talking about, a lot of people talk about salvation in this verse, but this chapter is not just about getting a person saved. You've got to remember, the epistles were not written to sinners. Did you know that? They're not, this book was not written to sinners. It was written to Christians. This was written to the church. Because the church is not getting it. They think that Roman road to salvation is Roman. No, it's a Roman road to anything you need. It wasn't written to the sinners. Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, First and Second Timothy, they were written to the church of the living God, Christians. This is a letter from God to Christians. And so he's telling Christians how to get their prayers answered, how to live by righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God? What is it? He's telling you that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and remember the Holy Spirit came, whom he said, I will send in my name. The Holy Spirit comes in the name of Jesus. And who's the power that raised Jesus from the dead? The Holy Spirit. And where is he living? He's living in you. And is he all powerful? Yes. Is he the Spirit of truth? Yes. Did he promise he will lead you and guide you into all truth? Yes. Did he promise he would teach you all things? Yes. So he's teaching you today that you're not a sinner saved by grace.
Right. Amen.
You are the righteousness of God in Christ. He became sin so you could be made righteous. When did you get made righteous? You got made righteous the day you got born again. And you can't grow in righteousness. He's leading you into some truth here today. That's the truth. That's just you just should be established in that. I know when a little baby comes to Jesus and gives their heart to the Lord, they become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away, all things become new, and they receive the Holy Spirit, and their little spirit cannot get any more righteous from that moment on. Can't. We can grow in faith, and we can grow in love, and we can grow in all that. We can start bearing fruit of the human spirit, which the Holy Spirit is in you to help you do. But it's not even the Holy Spirit is bearing fruit. It's your human spirit supposed to be bearing fruit. You're supposed to be bearing love and joy and peace out of your human spirit.
Yes.
Which a lot of people ain't got a lot of fruit going on. Because they don't know it's their spirit growing fruit. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So verse 9 says, if thou wilt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Now, let me stop right here and clarify this. Because when I read this verse, you know what I hear? If you will confess his word. Because in the beginning was the word was God, the word was made God. You cannot separate God from his word. So if you will confess the word, which is Jesus. If you're confessing the Lord Jesus, confessing his word.
Right.
By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed.
Yes. Amen.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's confessing the Lord Jesus. You can't separate Jesus from his word. He is his word. His word is him. And so he says in covenant, the new covenant, this is it. I'm going to put my word in your mind and in your heart so I can be to you a God and you can be to me a people. That's how you become God's people, because you know his word. You know his will. And he also says that he wants you to prove what is that good and perfect acceptable will of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's the word of God that teaches you who God is. You wouldn't know anything if it wasn't for the word of God. And the word being made flesh and dwelling among us and teaching us. Oh, Jesus. Jesus brought the Holy Spirit to teach you truth and to teach you revelation truth. I pray every single day. Maybe I've missed a few along the way. But every day, just about every day, I will pray Ephesians 1:17, 18, 19. And I sincerely pray this because I know my life depends on it. My life depends on it. God, give me the spirit of wisdom. Give me the spirit of revelation, the knowledge of you. Let my eyes of understanding be enlightened. Let me know what is the hope of your calling in Christ Jesus. I don't want to guess. I don't want a guessing kind of life. I want to know so life. I want to know what you promised me. Because I know God will do whatever he says he will do. He watches over his word to perform it. God is not a God that can lie. So if you can find a promise and you can believe it, you can have it. Now, it ain't about what I want. It's what he's saying, and I'm just agreeing with God. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
It's learning how to agree with God. It's learning how to believe God's word is the truth and just put it in your mouth. And he says, if you will confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth, it's your mouth, and you'll believe it in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Do you know there would be no new birth? There would be no salvation? There would be none of this if Jesus hadn't raised from the dead. He said, he told Martha before he raised Lazarus from the dead, he said, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. See, the resurrection life ensures he defeated death. See, death came from a man, the first Adam, and the last Adam brought resurrection from the dead. Death does not have dominion over the Lord Jesus. And he is his word. So when you know the word of God has no restraints any longer, and if you just will believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth, you'll be delivered from whatever it is you need to be delivered from. If you can find the word of God on a subject, and you can believe it in your heart and speak it in your mouth, you'll be saved. What do you need to be saved from? Some people have electric bill they need to be saved from. I just got a big old bill from the IRS I got to pay, and I ain't paid yet. So I got to be saved from that. And if my mouth is the one that's going to cause that to happen, my mouth is going to have to believe that money to come in. My mouth is going to have to do that. I can't beg and cry and squall and bawl. And God doesn't have a counterfeit machine in heaven. People want God to send money down. Oh, send the money. No, the money's here. But see, I already know that. And it takes all the pressure off. When you get a big old ugly bill, I mean, it came in the form of a letter. And it was a form of a... Now, I sent him already $100. And I'm thinking, I ain't going to worry. It's not very much. It ain't like $10,000. I mean, what are they going to do? Come to Midway. It was $286. They're going to come to Midway and hook me up for $286, the federal government, IRS. Well, they might. They might. They're pretty hard up for money right now, right? But the point is, I'm not in fear about all of it, at all. Not at all. And that's a good thing, because I know how to believe the word of God and confess it with my mouth. And he said he supplies all my needs according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Is that the truth? Mm-hmm. But do I believe that? See, it's a difference in getting it here and getting it here. I kind of went on a different journey here today than I meant to, but has this all been good?
Yes, amen.
Has it all been good?
Yes.
Because we're talking about the righteousness. I read the whole book of Romans here lately a couple of times through, and I thought, man, this is all about righteousness. It's all about having faith in God and righteousness. Righteousness is imparted to us through Christ. So, verse 9, if you confess, if, but see, that little bitty word if is like a toe stumper. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, if I could just do that. If I could just stop cussing. If I could just stop doing the wrong things. If I could just do it. Mm-hmm. But you can. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And you can't. But that if is your part. We want God to do it all. But he said, if you will do this, it's just getting me to do it. Getting me to do it. Guess who brings yourself to church? Did God bring you here? No, you brought yourself here. If you quit smoking or if you quit doing it, it's you going to have to do it. God ain't going to grab you up by the hair of the head and make you do anything, is he? Now, he'll help you if you decide, okay, I'm going to church. I don't feel like going, but I'm going to go. So, God, you give me grace here to get myself dressed and go. Or you get my, whatever it is you know is right to do. If you do smoke, if anybody's in here smoking, I don't know if anybody's smoking. But I smoke 3 packs a day. Ain't nobody loves cigarettes better than I did. I could eat them for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The first thing I did when I woke up at 2 in the morning, cigarette. Last thing I did before I went to bed, cigarette. And I smoked the thing. All the way through. I wanted a little puffer. Some people just puff. I was an inhaler. Darlene was an inhaler. I loved them. Hang me out in a tobacco bar, honey. I love this stuff. I mean, I'm a farm girl. And I tell you what, I love it. I loved it. I don't love it now. But I knew it would kill me. I knew it was not good. And I had to, and the same way with beer or any of that stuff. I liked beer. I still like beer. I just don't drink it. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Mm-hmm. What do you need to be saved from? Promise in the word of God about it. Hallelujah. I just could go on and on here, but it's getting late. And can I show you? I always do this. Can I show you another one? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It's a verse that's just so misused. In the church. God's, and this is the sad thing, it's his church. Mm-hmm. It's his body on the earth. And I don't care what name you hang over your, what's name on the shingle over your door of your church. This is the truth. Truth is make you free, Jesus said. So it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. You cannot read verse 9 and 10 without reading them together. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now that is exciting news to me. So that means there's all the... listen, the cap has been blown plumb off. The veil's been rent in two. He's in me now. He's not in the Holy of Holies. He's living in me. The Spirit of truth is in me. So I have not seen, ears not heard, neither have entered the heart of the things that God has prepared for them that love me. But he's revealed them to us through his Spirit. And the Spirit of God is in me to reveal these things to me. So I can know all things. Yeah, the deep things of God. You need to know something from God. You need to have a revelation about something. You want to stop being depressed? He'll show you how to do that. You want to stop being worried? He'll show you how to do that. You want to stop being fearful, nervous, shaky, and jerky? He'll teach you how to do that. I have a friend who calls me. I led this guy to the Lord about 6 years ago in my insurance office. Led him right to the Lord. I've led people to the Lord my whole life. And I led this guy to the Lord, and he was one of the most fearful people I'd ever met. But God has so changed him because he's becoming God inside-minded. And he knows that God's word is the truth. And if he can just believe it in his heart and confess it with his mouth, he's saved. That's what you got to do. Give me the spirit of fear, the power, love, and a sound mind. The Holy Spirit is the power and the love and the sound mind. Don't ever worry about losing your mind. God says you got the spirit of truth in you. He'll lead you in how to have a sound mind.
Yes.
He'll teach you how to eat right.
Amen.
I'm looking at Walter. He drank for his belly. That's another thing. If you want to, you know, God just, if you want to eat a bunch of junk, wrong or right. God will just teach you how to do a lot of things. But the if word is your part. Father, I just seal this word today. I close with this. All things are naked and open to eyes of him, with him with whom we have to do. Neither is there any creature not made manifest in sight, but all things are naked. The Holy Spirit, I just thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your presence in my life. And I thank you, Lord, that you've given me grace to be so God inside-minded. And that you know, I'm never alone. I have the Comforter. I never have to worry and be afraid. I'm never alone. I'm just never alone. I thank you for this, Lord. I thank you that we have the mighty Holy Spirit living in us to put us over in life, to teach us how to talk right. You said you fill our mouths with good things, that our youth is renewed like the eagles. I thank you, Jesus, that we have opportunity to walk in so much good things through your word and your provision in the earth. Until we receive into glory, I praise you, God, for your word. Now, Father, I just bless the people. I bless each and every one that's here today. Lord, I speak shalom, shalom over every life, and that they will know the joy of the Lord, for the joy of the Lord is our strength, and joy is a fruit of the human spirit, and how to grow that joy, how to grow that peace. And I just thank you, God, that we can grow these things in our lives. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit who's in us to help us do all these things. And I thank you, Father, you said these signs will follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And I thank you, Jesus. You said that if they drink any of the other thing, it will not hurt them. They can cast out devils and they can raise the dead. I thank you, Lord, that we can do all these things through you. Jesus, you said, greater works than I did shall you do also, because I go to the Father. And that's because we have the Holy Spirit who raised you from the dead. We can raise the dead. Thank you for the resurrection life that's in us. Thank you, Lord, for the resurrection life that lives in us and through us and with us all the time. And I thank you for resurrection life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.